Good evening. I'm John Chancellor. The United States today said publicly in Washington that while there is some evidence that the Egyptians may have violated the terms of the Suez Canal ceasefire, the American evidence is not conclusive. And within hours in Tel Aviv, the Israelis produced photographs which they said proved their case. That on a number of occasions, including the night of the ceasefire and two nights after, the Egyptians were setting up missiles in a prohibited zone. Nevertheless, the State Department spokesman today stuck to his guns and said that getting on with the peace talks was more important than arguing about the violation of a ceasefire, a violation that did not change the balance of military power and which was, in any case, hard to prove.
Now, obviously, any such change would have some effect on the military situation. But it is not possible at this time to get into a yardstick measurement of the overall balance. But we do want to make clear, as both the President and the Secretary of State have said before, that we will not permit the balance to be upset. And we will be taking up this matter with the government of the United Arab Republic and the Soviet Union.
But the Israelis continue to insist there have been violations that changed the military situation along the Suez Canal, and they want to return to the pre-truce conditions. They do not even feel reassured, or won't say so publicly, by American promises to provide more Phantom jets or other equipment if needed. The United States is trying to persuade Israel to stop talking about possible violations and start talking about peace. With today's statement, the U.S. hopes that private diplomacy can now replace public controversy. Richard Valeriani, NBC News at the State Department.
We are taking this very seriously. I have come in great earnestness and with hopes. That's why from the very beginning I presented myself to Ambassador Yaring. I have put and I am putting myself at his disposal. And I think we have had already a serious and useful exchange of views.
In other words, your discussions with Ambassador Yaring have gone beyond the modalities, the procedure.
Well, our discussions with Ambassador Yaring are and are going to be, of course, confident. And I think I'm not free to say anything about them.
What reaction do you have to charges that your country violated the ceasefire by moving missiles into the ceasefire zone?
As for these allegations about the violations of the ceasefire, I can tell you right now that we have had causes to think that the ceasefire was violated by the Israeli forces. We did not go to the press, and I'm not going now to go to television and use this opportunity to speak about them. For the other allegations, I think I can trust your government, and I think I'll accept the very diplomatic language by which you have announced today your findings about the situation.
How much do you think can be accomplished in the part of the 90 days left of the ceasefire?
We are ready to exert every possible effort, and we hope that something can be achieved, at least that we can regain the confidence that there is such motives on the other side, on the other part too. 90 days is not a very long day. War can be made in 6 days. I hope peace can be made in 90.
In addition to Dr. El-Zayat's talks today with Ambassador Yaring, the big four ambassadors to the United Nations met, and tomorrow, King Hussein of Jordan will fly to Cairo for talks with President Nasser. But the next move in the peace talks still depends on the Israelis, and there are indications tonight that they may not do anything until Friday. David?
3 times in a week, the Senate has voted on amendments to tone down, reduce, delay, or eliminate the ABM, the anti-ballistic missile system. And 3 times in a week, the ABM has come out alive, and the President and the Pentagon have won again. Today's vote was on an amendment by Senator Brooke of Massachusetts to give the Air Force all the money it was asking, but to prohibit the building of any new ABM sites. It was defeated by 6 votes.
This is NBC Nightly News, Wednesday, August 19th, 1970. Brought to you by Silver Thins. Cigarettes are like women. The best ones are thin and rich. Silver Thins are thin and rich.
Cigarettes are like women. The best ones are thin and rich. Silver Thins are thin and rich. Thin so they taste light. Lighter than other 100s. Lighter than most Kings. Rich, well, because rich is better. Cigarettes are like women. The best ones are thin and rich. Silver Thins are thin and rich.
The Congressional Committee on Economy looked over the SST, the supersonic transport, the passenger plane designed to fly from London, say, to New York in 3 hours while making a sonic boom every foot of the way. The committee said no more tax money should be spent on it because, it said, the plane would cost $3 billion, would never make a profit, and would be of very little public benefit. The decision is up to Congress. Yesterday, a committee investigating the use of drugs by servicemen in Vietnam heard from a former Marine officer. He said when he tried to stop his men from smoking marijuana, one of them tried to kill him. There was more testimony today.
A former Army social worker in Vietnam testified that some officials tried to suppress a study of GI pot smoking. He said they feared it might arouse anti-war sentiment.
Adverse publicity concerning illicit drug use by soldiers in Vietnam was viewed by some authorities as influencing the continued support of the war effort by the American public. While medical and mental health practitioners were desirous of obtaining data and studying the drug phenomenon, higher headquarters tended to emphasize the political ramifications.
An anti-drug crusader presented several men wearing black masks over their eyes to conceal their identities. They related their own experiences with narcotics in the military.
I saw one particular man. Not one, more than one, I don't recall the exact number. They had broken down their M16s, and they were cleaning them. They were all intoxicated from marijuana, and a sniper fired, and naturally your instinct taught you to put your weapon back together again. These men were unable to put their weapons back together again at this time.
There was many times when I went to work on the line, completely stoned, on amphetamine speed.
I myself have taken out a passenger ship out of New York Harbor and charged second mate in command of the ship, stoned on heroin. I've never used drugs at sea, but I've been stoned taking ship out of a port.
Taking the ship out of the port?
Taking the ship out of New York Harbor, yes, sir. 1,400 passengers on it.
Senators Hatfield and McGovern months ago wrote an amendment to force all the American military out of Vietnam by next spring by refusing any more money to keep them there. It has never seemed likely Congress would pass it. Now McGovern and Senator Goodell of New York have rewritten it to extend the deadline to the end of 1971. That way they hope to pick up more votes and they hope to get a Senate vote on it one way or another this month. John?
The leaders of every country in East Europe have been summoned to Moscow and are there tonight, according to the Soviet news agency TASS. The men who run the governments of Bulgaria, Romania, Hungary, Czechoslovakia, East Germany, and Poland are holding summit talks with Russian leaders. The talks will deal with the Treaty of Non-Aggression, which the Russians and the West Germans recently signed, and possibly with the prospects of an East-West European security conference involving both NATO and Warsaw Pact countries.
Meet Mrs. Meg Sargent of McLean, Virginia. A while back, she was in big trouble with her son, Chris. Listen.
A while ago, Chris misplaced one of his ski socks. Well, I found it, and I thought it was an odd sock, so I used it for a cleaning rag. Naturally, it got hopelessly dirty. Then Chris turned up with the other sock, and was he mad? I told him I'd buy him a new pair. But then I decided to try the Tide XK everyone was talking about. Well, Tide XK got it so clean that I couldn't tell which sock was which, and neither could Chris. Well, I never got too excited about detergents before, but that experience really impressed me. and I've relied on Tide XK ever since.
Get Tide XK with XK enzymes. Because the tougher your cleaning problems, the more you need Tide. And if you don't believe it, write Mrs. Sargent, Box 1800, McLean, Virginia.
The President's Commission on Campus Unrest, known as the Scranton Commission, opened hearings today at Kent State University in Ohio. Ohio's governor, James Rhodes, had wanted the commission to stay away until a grand jury had finished investigating the shootings at Kent State, and he had made that request to the White House. But the White House said no, and the commission members were at the school today.
The events at Kent State were responsible, in a way, for the formation of the Scranton Commission. And this morning, the commission toured the Kent State campus to learn firsthand what did happen here.
They turned suddenly and fired at the students, or the group that was coming up the hill there.
Four students died in that gunfire. The tragedy set off other campus uprisings around the country and eventually brought the Scranton Commission here for 3 days to learn why it happened and what can be done to prevent a recurrence. Because of the pending grand jury probe, state officials were skittish about answering blunt questions. Major General Sylvester Del Corso of the National Guard brought a lawyer with him, and the lawyer kept objecting to questions about snipers, gunfire, and weapons.
Well, sir, I will object again so long as you are relating it specifically to Kent State, because we have a lawsuit pending, we have a grand jury investigation, the general was not present at the scene. If you want to relate it to a hypothetical situation, I will have no objection whatsoever.
My concern, General, is whether the military is now of the mind that unarmed Americans or Americans armed with rocks ought to be executed. That bothers me a great deal, and that is a basic question, and I want to know if that is the mentality of our military, and if it is, I want it a part of this record.
Certainly, and certainly no one is to be executed or fired at unless that individual is firing in self-defense.
Governor James Rhodes has a reputation for calling out the National Guard for almost anything. But Kent State's president did not want the Guard and did not know it was coming.
I believe the presence of the National Guard did add to tension on campus.
When you say it was expected, I understand that. Did you regret it?
Oh, yes. Yes, I regretted it. You see, my first effort would have been to have secured the Ohio Highway Patrol.
The theory that the Asian War alone caused the unrest at Kent State was also challenged by student witnesses.
World historians opposed to racism. Basically, the Cambodia speech was a spark, but when people say, well, all this happened because of Cambodia, that's not true. We must understand that the problem, one very big problem, is a racist attitude.
The efforts made by Governor Rhodes to either delay or dilute this hearing may have been partially successful. The panel did not question General Del Corso as exhaustively as it might have, apparently honoring his commitments to the grand jury probe, which itself has not yet begun. The panel is finding that perhaps the National Guard is overarmed, and perhaps there are causes beyond its understanding for the uprisings on campuses like Kent State. Steve Delaney, NBC News at Kent State University.
Attorney General John Mitchell, lunching with some reporters today, said he thought that if a lot of students work for various political candidates this fall, they will only hurt the candidates they are working for. Mitchell says young people have created a political backlash. In St. Paul, Minnesota, at about 2:30 this morning, 21-year-old David M. Ifshin was elected president of the National Student Association. Ifshin was elected on the fourth ballot by a divided convention. He later promised massive, nonviolent civil disobedience next spring if the war has not ended. David?
First, the Food and Drug Administration ordered all soft drinks containing cyclamates off the market. Now it has applied the same order to all foods, mostly fruits, sold for dietetic use in cans, leaving stores and canneries wondering what they will do with all of it.
All of this, canned fruit sweetened with cyclamates, of which there is so much on grocery shelves today, all of this must be gone in 2 weeks. As of September 1st, it is illegal. Last year, when the fruit was being grown, much of it in the orchards and groves of California's San Joaquin Valley, and as it was being taken in to be processed and canned, It was thought to be all right to use cyclamates. But then, last fall, the government said cyclamates were dangerous. Well, since that moment, no more fruits have been canned with cyclamates, but there are still millions of cases already canned that have not yet been sold. They will have to be dumped. The largest victim is the California Canners and Growers Association, a cooperative whose farmer members stand to lose $15 million. They want the government to compensate them. They don't think the government tests on cyclamates were right to begin with.
When the first tests came out last October, these were based on tests that were fed to rats, cyclamates that were fed to rats. And the dosage was very high. For example, the dosage fed the rats equated to 575 dishes of peaches every day for 70 years. And, of course, this is unrealistic. We don't have any customers eating 575 dishes of peaches every day. But we don't want to put out any products that are not healthful. But we have lived up to everything. We've lived up to the food and drug laws. We've lived up to every regulatory aspect of this business. So we feel that we're innocent bystanders to this thing, and we feel we have a right to seek recompensation for this.
In this picture, you see about 1,000 cases of canned fruit that were canned in cyclamates and must now be destroyed. But this is only 1,000 cases. And this one company alone across the country estimates it has 3.5 million cases. So the question is, what do you do with 3.5 million cases of fruit that you can't use, can't sell, don't want to store, and have to get rid of? Jack Perkins, NBC News, Stockton, California.
After 18 days on the witness stand, Linda Kasabian ended her testimony in the Charles Manson trial, whereupon she walked across the street to the Los Angeles police station and held a news conference. It was a curious performance, and here's how it was.
Reporters from all over the world went through tight security to get into the police auditorium. Only newsmen were allowed, and more than 100 were there. The court ruled that they would not be permitted to ask questions about Linda Kasabian's testimony, only her personal plans and observations. So, her attorneys interrupted when they felt she shouldn't answer.
I'd like to go into the wilderness with my children, get down to nature, and get closer to myself and closer to God.
Wait, one at a time, one at a time.
Linda, do you think that you will ever be able to live a normal life with no effect from those two nights, or will for the rest of your life, will this continue to haunt you?
Well, that again is a question that relates to her testimony.
Well, I think
you want to answer? All right, go ahead.
I would open it. I'll overrule the objection.
Okay.
Overrule
it. It's deep within my heart what happened, and I could never forget about it.
The Charles Manson and the other defendants, I understood you to say you'd like to see them do something, but I didn't understand yours. What
I'd
was
I'd like
it?
To see them just to fall down on their knees and beg forgiveness.
Do you think they're capable of that in their state of mind?
No.
Why not?
Well, I think...
Well,
They don't want to realize what they've done.
J-Wax Kit. It's the pre-softened paste wax. Kit liquefies as it hits the finish. Slides on easy. Deep cleans as it waxes. There is no easier, faster way to get a long-lasting paste wax shine. Unless someone else does it for you. J-Wax Kit.
Raid, House and Garden Bug Killer. Kills bugs dead.
NBC Nightly News continues, brought to you by Dristan Tablets. Dristan gives more complete relief, works fast to relieve cold, congestion, headache, body aches, and fever.
Before you take anything for your cold, you should know this. Dristan Tablets can relieve more virus cold symptoms than cold capsules. Capsules work on these symptoms, contain no aspirin for these. But Dristan does it all with antihistamine and decongestant for sneezes, congestion, and runny nose. Plus a full dose of aspirin for fever, headache, and body aches. Dristan tablets can relieve more virus cold symptoms than capsules. Dristan does it all.
Here's the fastest relief known for bronchial asthma attacks. Restores free breathing in as little as 15 seconds. It's Primatene Mist. Or, if you wish, to keep breathing freely for hours, take Primatene tablets. In the lungs, Primatene opens clogged breathing tubes, relaxes bronchial spasms, restores free breathing in and out. That's Primatene Mist, the fastest relief known, or Primatene tablets, with the asthma relievers doctors prescribe most.
Dr. Lee DuBridge, the president's science advisor, has resigned. He is unhappy because federal money for scientific research has been cut, and he wanted to retire anyway. His replacement is Dr. Edward E. David, Jr., an expert in communications and computers. He is from Wilmington, North Carolina. The Agriculture Department says the new blight damaging the corn crop has spread from the Gulf of Mexico to the Canadian border, but says it can't tell yet how much of this year's crop will be lost. If it is substantial, it'll force up the price of meat.
Trading on the Chicago Board of Trade was delayed for an hour and a half this morning to straighten out paperwork from yesterday's record session. But when it opened, it was brisk. The Illinois agriculture director says 25% of the state's corn crop will be lost because of southern corn blight. And although other experts dispute his figures, there is certain to be some loss, and that has driven the price of corn up. There's also increasing concern that there may not be enough corn to plant next year. So today, a Wisconsin seed company began airlifting 15,000 pounds of seed corn and 90,000 pounds of farm equipment to Hawaii to escape the blight. Richard Metcalf, president of the company, is trying to develop a new strain which will resist the blight. It all somehow had the ring of a favorite science fiction plot in which survivors from a doomed planet launch out into space to look for somewhere else to start over. John Dantzley, NBC News, Chicago.
Today, the Commerce Department put out 64 pages of statistics, prognoses, speculations, and forecasts. And in brief, it says the U.S. economy now seems ready for an upswing, either toward the end of this year or early in 1971. It says this will be brought about mainly by increases in consumer spending. John?
11 private schools in Mississippi today lost their tax-exempt status because they would not guarantee integrated racial policies. Interestingly, this action was taken by the Internal Revenue Service under a court order, and not under the administration's pledge to take away the tax-exempt status of any private school practicing discrimination. The tax people said today that program had not yet got underway, which will be good news for a lot of private schools.
If you could put Territon's charcoal filter on the end of your cigarette, you could put Territon's charcoal filter on your cigarette, well, anyway, if you could put Territon's charcoal filter on your cigarette, you'd have a better tasting cigarette. Of course, we can't guarantee it'd smoke as smooth as a Territon. To begin with, no other cigarette has Territon tobacco. And when that tobacco is smoothed by Territon's activated charcoal filter, it tastes even milder. Better face it, if you want your cigarette to smoke as smooth as a Territon, it'll just have to be a Territon with the activated charcoal filter. That's why us Territon smokers would rather fight than switch.
The administration made its first move today under the so-called Philadelphia Plan, a scheme to get more minority group workers into the construction business. The government moved to bar federal contracts to a Pennsylvania firm which did not hire enough minority workers. The firm says it is innocent. Father Theodore Hesburgh of Notre Dame University is the chairman of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission. He said today, this commission has had it up to here with counties and communities that have to be dragged kicking and screaming into the U.S. Constitution. Hesburgh said that neither the people nor the government is serious about equality. And hopefully the final chapter in the nerve gas story, the Navy has lost contact with the ship sunk yesterday, carrying the gas to the bottom of the sea, and today nobody knows what has happened to the gas or the ship, and the Navy has given up. Prices rose today on both major stock markets. On the New York Exchange, the Dow Jones Industrials gained 7 1/3 points, and the value of an average share went up 30 cents. On the American Exchange, an average share rose 4 cents. Analysts attributed the rise to the Commerce Department's optimistic report on the economy. David?
Yesterday, President Nixon flew to New York for a meeting with executives of the New York Daily News, not the New York Times. And after the meeting, even though his bodyguards were nervous about it, he took a walk around the streets.
Did it occur to you that it's very dangerous for you to walk the streets of New York City like you did this afternoon?
It's really dangerous for a president, or for example, any high official, but particularly a president, to go through any city. It isn't just New York. I have visited now 25 states and 25 major cities. But I feel it's very important that the President of the United States not be penned up in the White House. That's why I have taken the government of this country and the cabinet to the nation, and why I have insisted over Secret Service objections time and again, whether it's in Louisville or New Orleans or Cincinnati or Salt Lake City or Denver, or for that matter, Los Angeles or New York City, to go and walk among people, have a chance to talk to them. Of course, it's dangerous. But the President of the United States must not be cut off from contact with people, and I'm willing to accept that danger. This isn't being particularly brave, it isn't that. It's just simply the fact that under our system, it is expected that our leaders will not isolate themselves from the people.
The Norwegian Medical Association, after an elaborate study, finds that the two-day weekend is not good for people because it says it is too short and too hectic. It says the scramble to get out of town on weekends, fighting overcrowded highways, bridges and tunnels, and overcrowded resorts, followed by the scramble to get back on Sunday nights, is even more strenuous and tiring than 2 days of work. And so it finds that on Monday morning, people are more tired out than if they had been at work on Sunday or Saturday and Sunday. If it's of any interest to the Norwegian Medical Association, it's the same way here, but worse. Thank you, and good night for NBC News.